It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
I'm Brett Baer.
I'm Maria Bartiromo.
I'm Brian Kilmeade, and this is the Fox News Rundown.
Tuesday, November 22nd, 2022. I'm Dave Anthony. Millions of Americans use TikTok, but there is a growing fear they're the ones being used.
Our military has banned it. The entire Indian government has banned it in India. And I think we should ban it in the United States as well, because it is a data vacuum machine for the Chinese Communist Party.
I'm Jessica Rosenthal. With inflation still roaring heading into the end of the year, will the Fed continue hiking rates? And will families pull back this holiday season?
A lot of the retailers we talk to are talking about having too much inventory. And so they're talking about doing a lot of discounting. A lot of households say that they're going to be doing less gift giving this year.
And I'm Tammy Bruce. I've got the final word on the Fox News Rundown.
You don't hear this very often, if ever, from a Democrat.
I think Donald Trump was right.
And what was then President Trump right about? An app with roots in China that he wanted to ban.
TikTok is an enormous threat.
Democratic Senator Mark Warner tells Fox News Sunday,
if you're a parent and you got a kid on TikTok, I would be very, very concerned. All of that data that your child is inputting and receiving is being stored somewhere in Beijing.
Maybe even TikTok users' facial imagery. This comes after FBI Director Christopher Wray called China the number one threat to the U.S.
And they have stolen more of Americans' personal and business data than every other nation combined.
Republican Senator Tom Cotton tells Fox,
that's why I've encouraged every American, if they're using TikTok, to delete it from their phone, and if they can, to get a new phone altogether.
Another Republican agrees, Congressman Michael Waltz.
Oh, absolutely. And I don't have it on any of my devices.
Congressman Waltz is a former Army Green Beret, a member of the House Armed Services Committee.
What people need to understand is that if you even just have the app on your devices, even if you don't use it, in violation of a number of agreements and laws here in terms of privacy, it is collecting your financial data, all of your passwords, every keystroke. Despite the denials from ByteDance, its parent company, and the Chinese government that says, no, this thing is walled off and the servers are there in the United States, a number of leaks of internal documents from TikTok have shown that it is a vacuum cleaner for all of your data. Now, why does that matter so much? Because a lot of people, including some of my family members, shrug their shoulders like, I'm not doing anything wrong. I don't care. Well, from a strategic standpoint, imagine if we have some type of future conflict and they can now geolocate and have the data for all of our pilots, or all of our railroad engineers, or our military members, or we can keep going down the list of our physicians. And that in itself is unacceptable. But look, at the end of the day, David, our military has banned it. The entire Indian government has banned it in India. And I think we should ban it in the United States as well, because it is a data vacuum machine for the Chinese Communist Party.
Now, how do we put the toothpaste back in the tube, though, really? I mean, how do you ban? You can't force people to take the TikTok off their phone, can you?
No, but we could revoke their licenses to operate in the United States. The Chinese Communist Party is our greatest adversary. I don't think back in the 70s or 60s we would have allowed the Soviet Union to operate a company in a way that's vacuuming up U.S. citizen and some, you know, critical personnel's information and data. So from a national security standpoint, from a privacy violation standpoint, not in keeping with how businesses are allowed to operate in the United States, I think there's greater action that could be taken.
Okay, so essentially you could take it so that it's on my phone. Well, it isn't, but if it were on my phone, it would stay on my phone, but it wouldn't work necessarily, right?
That's right.
It wouldn't do what it's doing currently.
I found an interesting Pew Research had recently said that 10% of American adults use TikTok to get news regularly. That's not kids watching videos. That's adults.
If the Chinese Communist Party, through its propaganda and misinformation machine, has control of those algorithms, they can begin changing perceptions on Taiwan. We've seen that the fact that they've stamped out freedom in Hong Kong, they can soften that or alter perceptions of that. They have over 2 million people in concentration camps, the greatest human rights abuses since World War II and the Holocaust. They can cover that up. We see a lot of mainstream media, Democrats and others, throwing their hands up in the air about misinformation, about election interference, about foreign actors without our that do not have our best interest in mind, interfering with our news and information systems. But yet they kind of shrug their shoulders at an amazingly powerful avenue for the Chinese to use. It doesn't make sense to me. And I think a Republican-led Congress is going to take some steps to stop it.
You mentioned Taiwan. I know you recently had gone there. I know that President Biden met with the Chinese leader ahead of that G20 summit, and supposedly Taiwan was an issue. In the next Congress with Republicans in majority in the House, what would you want done? I know that you think the Biden administration needs to do more to prepare for a possible invasion of Taiwan. What
right.
do you want to do in the next Congress to deal with that?
There's a number of key things. The top of the list is a hard lesson learned from Ukraine. We have to arm our allies ahead of the invasion, unlike what we did in Ukraine, which was way after the fact, after cities have been devastated, hundreds of thousands have been killed, with costs to global food and gas supplies. I think a Chinese invasion of Taiwan would have an exponentially greater impact on the global economy and on the U.S. economy. So we need to arm up Taiwan ahead of time. We need to pull our critical supply chains out of China. The fact that we no longer make computer chips in this country, we no longer even make antibiotics in this country. We have the left pouring hundreds of billions into the Green New Deal called the Inflation Reduction Act. All of that's going to go to the Chinese economy that make 90% of the world's solar panels. So arm up Taiwan, pull our supply chains home. I have legislation to create a critical mineral stockpile, much like our strategic petroleum reserve, because some of the critical minerals that run our economy also are no longer mined in the United States. The Chinese Communist Party have dominated that as well. So there are a number of steps that we need to make, and I fear, particularly after my trip to Taiwan, that we're running out of time.
You really do believe that there is an invasion or a takeover coming, right? The President Xi Jinping is going to do this.
Listen to President Xi just in the last few weeks before the 20th Party Congress. This isn't mine or others' opinion. He's telling the world what he's going to do. He was explicit in saying the Taiwan problem will not be passed on to the next generation. The implicit statement there was he will do it on his watch. He's almost 70, so I'd give it within the next 10 years. And he's also stated that the military option is absolutely on the table. And he's told his military to be prepared not only for an invasion, but to repel any type of American intervention by 2027. David, that's on the next president's watch. That means Joe Biden could be a wartime president, or the next president, I hope Republican, could be a wartime president. And this will be a conflict likely that will eclipse any other that we've seen since World War II.
Yeah, this is not Russia versus Ukraine, though, right? I mean, if this is us getting in, we would get directly involved. The president has said that, right? He has said the U.S. military would get involved.
And what people need to understand, because it looks like just a tiny island off the coast of mainland China, but if you overlay that with global shipping and trade routes, by China taking Taiwan, they will effectively control the economies of Japan, South Korea, Indonesia, Malaysia, Australia, about 50% of global GDP, not to mention 90% of the world's most advanced semiconductors. It will be devastating to us and to our economy. And it will be a major step towards Xi's vision, which he's also stating, of becoming the dominant global superpower. not a superpower, the superpower, and replacing the United States and a global world order built on basic individual freedoms.
Congressman Waltz has also traveled to Ukraine during its now nearly 9-month long war with Russia. President Volodymyr Zelensky keeps asking the U.S. and our allies for more help to fend off the Russian invasion. Monday, he told a NATO meeting via video through a translator,
"We are sure that we can defend ourselves in this war. We can reinstate our borders."
But Republicans, with the House majority in the next Congress, plan to take a deeper look at the weapons and other U.S. aid given to Ukraine.
Well, I think we need, and it's a responsibility of us as stewards of the taxpayer dollars, to have greater oversight. And I think you're going to see greater controls and conditions on it. I visited Ukraine twice, met with President Zelensky. He said he would welcome that. He would welcome greater visibility on how the aid's being used, where the weapons are going, and so on and so forth. You know, I think a lot was made of Kevin McCarthy saying no more blank checks. I think that's absolutely responsible. That doesn't mean necessarily we're not supporting the Ukrainians fighting for freedom. All they're asking for is the beans and bullets. But we need to have appropriate oversight. And finally, the Europeans have got to step up and do much more. Germany has delivered a fraction of what they promised in terms of military aid. And according to the Wall Street Journal, their trade with Russia has decreased a whopping 3%. So there's a lot of tough talk in Europe and not a lot of tough action.
Do you think Ukraine can continue to take back areas to liberate more of the country Russia took? Or is it going to be much more difficult in the winter, especially with all the infrastructure and the power outages that have happened in recent weeks?
They're going to have a tough winter. Europe is going to have a tough winter. And the following winter, from an energy standpoint, could be devastating to Europe's economy and therefore to ours and the global economy, have a real impact. Militarily, the Russian army has shown itself to be a paper tiger. They cannot keep up from an industrial-based standpoint with the advanced weaponry they need. That's why they're desperately reaching out to North Korea, of all countries, for ammunition, and to Iran, of all countries, for more advanced things like missiles and drones. So I think the real question is, what can Russia sustain? And therefore, how does Ukraine operate in that vacuum? I think it's the question is very much up in the air, because about 30% of Ukraine is now without electricity. They have rolling blackouts. They're going to suffer mightily economically from the devastation of literally Putin bombing cities, power plants, dams, and other infrastructure they need. I see this thing really slowing down over the winter for all of those reasons. And then the question is, what happens in the spring?
Congressman Michael Waltz, Republican from Florida, member of the House Armed Services Committee. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network. Stay on top of the latest news and information from Fox News. Listen and download the Fox News Hourly Update on your time. The trending stories you need anytime you want it. Listen and download now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.
This is Tammy Bruce with your Fox News commentary coming up.
The holidays are here, and if you're not thinking about gifts right now, you probably will be soon. The question is, how much will we all spend, and what will that mean about the state of our economy? Those in charge, like Boston Federal Reserve President Susan Collins, said just last week, we're still a ways off from where we want to be economically.
Restoring price stability remains the current imperative, and it's clear that there is more work to be done.
Christopher Waller, a Federal Reserve governor, took things a bit further in his remarks at a luncheon in Phoenix last week.
Slowing down economic growth is absolutely necessary to bring inflation back down to our 2% target.
Basically, whatever slowing down has already occurred may not be enough. The last inflation data we got showed deceleration, but still high at 7.7%. And the Fed is likely to raise rates again in a few weeks. Kingsview Asset Management's chief investment officer, Scott Martin, told Fox Business,
"They've got a couple more rate hikes behind them, sure, in front of them rather, Jackie. But then what happens? Because the Fed needs to take a break and see what damage they've done to the economy already. That should bring inflation down, but not hiking rates a lot further. That's not going to help growth at all. and therefore put us into another recession.
Recession talk aside, unemployment is still low, at least for now, despite some big tech sector layoffs. And despite a cooler housing market, consumer spending was strong in October, up 1.3% over September. Still, the Wall Street Journal notes the Census Bureau found in October 41% of Americans are having difficulty paying for essential household expenses. That's up 12 points in a year. And a University of Michigan survey found household sentiment is similar to that of late 2008, early 2009. That's when the Great Recession hit.
The economy is at something of a crossroads.
John Hilsengrath is a senior writer at the Wall Street Journal.
So 2022 was a year of sustained inflation, higher than many of the policymakers in Washington expected or wanted. And the risk here is that in their efforts to stop it, 2023 could be a year of recession and rising unemployment. And this holiday season is going to send some important signs about which way we're going, whether inflation cools on the one hand and whether consumers start buckling under the weight of not only high prices, but also high interest rates.
I heard an interview with Wharton finance professor Jeremy Siegel on Monday. He said the Fed could pause rate hikes and things would be fine. And he actually predicts we're going to get some like positive data soon, and that these forecasts that things are going to get worse and we're heading into like a worse financial situation are wrong. I mean, that made me happy. But while we see like maybe a slowdown in housing and tech, do we see other slowdowns? Like what's your deeper read based on the first question?
So this is the problem with forecasting, is when you're forecasting, it's about the future and most people have no idea what the heck is going to happen. So the problem for the Fed is that a lot of people a year ago and a year and a half ago were saying inflation was going to cool down, and it didn't. So the Fed is a bit reluctant right now to declare victory because it looked like victory was on the horizon in the past and it wasn't. Now, there are some signs that inflation is cooling. We got some decent numbers for the month of October. Gasoline prices have come off their highs, hotels, airfares, but other areas are kind of sticky, like rents and food. So the Fed has got another meeting in December, and by all accounts, they're going to raise interest rates once again. And the question really is, have they done, you know, when the Fed raises interest rates, it takes time to kind of feed through the economy. For instance,
I thought that stuff gets baked in, right? I thought even heading into a possible rate hike, this was already factored in that we were going to see that.
Well, I mean, the markets factor some of it in. The stock market is certainly constantly trying to factor it in. But think about a person with an adjustable rate mortgage. Mm. So that rate adjusts once a year. So you might not even have had the hit from the big interest rate increases yet. It might still be looming. Or think about rents. Those leases adjust every year or two. So as much as rents have already increased, some people might still be staring at those rate increases down the road. So these things, you know, as much as the market is this kind of daily, hourly barometer of how people feel about the economy, the actual gears of the economy don't run quite as fast as the market perceptions of it do.
Other than housing, the tech sector seems to be struggling. We see this obviously with layoffs. I think Twitter is its own beast because of the Elon Musk takeover, but Meta laid off thousands. Amazon is apparently getting ready to, which feels odd to announce that before the holidays. But Morgan Stanley analysts said these particular layoffs are not indicators of things to come in other sectors. Do you agree? And what should we take away from thousands and thousands of layoffs in the tech sector?
Well, I mean, layoffs are layoffs, and I think it would be foolish to dismiss them. I mean, the question is the tech sector a leading indicator of what's going to happen to the rest of the economy, or is it isolated? I mean, it's hard to call it isolated because it's become such an important part of American economic activity, especially in, you know, tech hubs like Northern California. It is the case that tech went through an unusual cycle during COVID because people were sheltered at home and, you know, those Amazon trucks were rolling by all day, every day. Yeah. So tech might have become unusually overheated during the COVID lockdowns and now it's pulling back some. But it's not really just tech. I mean, housing is getting hammered right now, too. So, you know, I think the big barometer that everybody looks at is the unemployment rate. So the unemployment rate has been very low, which has been kind of one of the big surprises of 2022. How come the economy feels so bad when it's so easy to get a job? And a risk for 2023 is that that unemployment rate might start rising if companies lay people off, if the housing sector takes a hit, if consumer spending pulls back, then the last kind of bulwark of the economy would be that unemployment rate. And I think if we see that happening, that's when we probably are going to start seeing the end of this Fed rate increase cycle.
Got it. Speaking of Amazon laying people off out of the holidays, what about consumer spending? I'm reading predictions are that we're going to see strong consumer holiday spending. If it is or if it isn't, what do we draw from consumer holiday spending about the health of the economy? And maybe prospectively, how do we look at the future of the economy if depending on holiday consumer spending?
Well, all right. So let's pull the lens back a little bit. So in 2021, there was a consumer spending boom. Adjusted for inflation, consumers increased their spending by 8%, which is a lot in an economy that in normal times grows between 2-3% a year. So there was pent up demand. People wanted to get out. They wanted to go out to restaurants, go on vacation, see family. And they had a lot of money in their bank accounts because of all these stimulus checks that were handed out by Washington and by low interest rates. So during the first 9 months of 2022, that spending rate slowed to less than 2%. So there already was a consumer spending pullback through the first 9 months of the year. And so then the question is, all right, how does that set us up for the end of the year? Well, October was stronger than some people expected, but the numbers that people talk about, a retail sales report put out by the government, isn't adjusted for inflation. So gasoline prices started rising again, so it showed up in those retail sales numbers. And we're also hearing from retailers that they're pushing some of their discounting ahead this year, ahead of typical like Black Friday sales spree, because they're trying to supercharge spending going into the holidays. A lot of the retailers we talk to are talking about having too much inventory. And so they're talking about doing a lot of discounting. A lot of households that we've looked at through a variety of surveys say that they're going to be doing less gift giving this year. Deloitte does a survey every year of gift giving plans. And they say that the average household is cutting back on how many gifts they plan to give out to loved ones this year sharply, from more than 15 gifts a person last year to 9. So I think the risk is that spending is subdued, and that also the risk for retailers in particular is that they've got to do a lot of discounting to get people out and opening their purses. And while that's good news for all the kids out there who might get more than, you know, 9 gifts, which is a lot in my book, it's not great for retailer profit margins. So this might be a quarter that really hits the profit margins of American companies.
Interesting. All right, John, before we let you go, we have to talk about your new book. You focus on Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen. Very interesting, right? Because when you think of cabinet positions, I guess I don't know if there are any more important than Treasury, maybe Defense Secretary. Why did you focus on Janet Yellen? Was it the position or the woman or both?
Well, it was a variety of things. What struck me, first of all, was that when she was nominated to be the Treasury Secretary of the United States, she was the first person in American history who would serve as the Treasury Secretary, the chair of the Federal Reserve, and the chair of the White House Council of Economic Advisers. So she has held the three most important economic policymaking positions and is the only person in American history who has done that, putting aside the fact that she's a woman and she broke a lot of glass ceilings in doing that. She's the first woman to have run the Fed, the first woman to be running the Treasury. So she just struck me as an interesting figure worth examining. Certainly the inflation we're experiencing now has kind of put her on the hot seat. what made convince me that this was a story that people would actually want to read is, believe it or not, a love story. And that's that Janet Yellen is married to another economist named George Akerlof. George Akerlof won a Nobel Prize. So here you have someone in Janet Yellen who's had the most important, influential economic policy positions in the country. And she's married to someone who really changed the way economists think about how markets work. And I realized that between the two of them, you can cover 60 years of economic history and use them as the two central characters in examining that, from Milton Friedman in the big debates of the 1960s and 70s about free markets, to more recent debates about whether markets themselves are rational and efficient, to financial crises. There's just a lot of history there, and they became, to me, two interesting characters through which I could examine that history.
Interesting. John Hilzenrath, senior writer at The Wall Street Journal, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network. Stay on top of the latest news and information from Fox News. Listen and download the Fox News Hourly Update on your time. The trending stories you need anytime you want it. Listen and download now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com. Subscribe to this podcast at foxnewspodcasts.com.
It's time for your Fox News commentary.
Tammy Bruce.
What's on your mind?
Did you hear there's a new civil war? That's right. It's Trump versus DeSantis and GOPers against the ultra-mega-magas and their king, according to the always reliable and fair legacy media and Democratic Party. They would never make things up or mislead Americans, said no one ever. The Democrats' new GOP civil war narrative is dumb, but it provides the media with an excuse to report on that instead of Biden's embarrassing gaffes during his G20 trip to Bali or how the Republicans won the midterm popular vote 51% to 47%, facilitating their takeover of the House of Representatives. Not only did the Democrats lose the House with a 221 to 214 margin, their grand plan to scare Trump out of running for president again did not quite pan out. The former president did indeed announce he is running for a second term, adding to the media's insistence of the calamity of the coming civil war. There are so many headlines, it must be true. Googling GOP civil war generates 676 million results. This new narrative is about the Democrats hoping and wishing and praying that the GOP burns itself out before the 2024 presidential race, so the Democrats can continue to burn the country down without suffering any more rude interruptions, like competitive elections. As for the GOP, its talent bench is deep and ambitious, and that's a good thing. And everyone who imagines that they can lead this nation to prosperity and safety should welcome the opportunity to convince the American people that they are the best choice for president. For those not drowning in derangement syndrome, Trump's announcement was lauded by most as calm, cool, and focused. His tone was not as pugilistic as some had expected, drawing praise. As the Civil War narrative was rolled out, even Governor Ron DeSantis came out and told everyone to cool their jets. DeSantis dismissed a reporter's question about Republican infighting following the party's mixed results in the 2022 midterm election, quote, "We just finished this election, okay? People just need to chill out a little bit on some of this stuff," DeSantis said at a press conference. DeSantis is admired by Republican grassroots, and he has proven himself capable of handling the slings and arrows lobbed his way. He is impressive, and if he wants it, very well could end up in the White House someday. Most every GOPer mentioned as a possible presidential candidate has things to crow about. But I also remember another political star. Four-term governor of Texas, Rick Perry, was widely expected to be the front-runner when he announced his presidential run in 2012. And he was, until the debates of the campaign season revealed a man not ready for the top job, and his support dwindled. He announced in August of 2011 and was out in January of 2012. The GOP will emerge with the strongest candidate for 2024 only if everyone runs, allowing voters of all parties and opinions to see the victor vanquish his or her opponents with better ideas and policy. If certain politicians are too afraid to run against Trump, how can they confront the scourge of today's Democratic Party? If they don't have confidence they can convince the GOP base to vote for them with Trump on the field, how can they overcome the machine the Democrats have in place? Like him or not, everyone should want Trump to run again, so our final statement cannot just be made, but be trusted by all of us. And if there is someone to whom the torch should be passed for the GOP, the only way of knowing that for sure is to have everyone compete. I'm Tammy Bruce, contributor at Fox News and host at Fox Nation, and my column can be seen at amac.us.
You've been listening to the Fox News Rundown. And now, stay up to date by subscribing to this podcast at foxnewspodcasts.com. Listen ad-free on Fox News Podcasts Plus on Apple Podcasts. And Prime members can listen to the show ad-free on Amazon Music. And for up-to-the-minute news, go to foxnews.com. From the Fox News Podcasts Network, Fox News Rewind Financial Crisis 08. A look back at the biggest financial crisis since the Great Depression.
The market is not functioning properly.
Subscribe now at foxnewspodcasts.com.
Pull up a chair and join me, Rachel Campos Duffy.
And me, former U.S. Congressman Sean Duffy, as we share our perspective on the discussions happening at kitchen tables across America.
Download From the Kitchen Table, The Duffys, at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you download podcasts.